The reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 12 to 25, which is on page 1064 in the Church Bibles. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. Jesus clears the temple courts. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I wonder whether you can picture yourself in the temple on that day when Jesus strode in and made his presence very felt. Our picture of Jesus is rarely that of this strong, forceful character. We think of him as somebody who's powerful, but often we associate Jesus's power with peace and with non-resistance, with giving way to other people, with washing feet and making himself lowly, with serving. And so perhaps that picture of Jesus striding in and making a whip out of cords and driving the animals out of the temple might take us by surprise. We see that whirlwind of righteous anger as he drives out the traders and their animals and scatters their money. It's a new side of Jesus to some people. And if we really take it on board, it might shake us a bit. But it's important, and perhaps we should stay with it for a little while. Because often those things that we get angry about are the things that we care most about. And we see here how important worship and the place of the temple and the sanctuary, the place that people could go to meet with God above everything else, that was what mattered to Jesus. And they'd turned it into something else. They'd got sidetracked. How easy it is to get sidetracked or blasé. Jesus cautions us against being careless. Perhaps we need to think again about what we need to do to take Jesus seriously. And as we enter Lent, we have that opportunity to review our lives with the help of the Holy Spirit so that we can recognize who we honor, how we honor, and what is really important in our lives. Some people do that by giving something up for Lent, something that might seem important in the everyday. They put on one side and think of a different priority, perhaps spending more time in prayer or in study. So let's think about our priorities this Lent. The thing that really got people's goat in this scene was not just driving out the animals and the traders, but it was when Jesus spoke of himself as being the temple of God. The temple was, to the people of that time, one of the most sacred religious sites and mysteries for those people. So for Jesus to compare his body and himself to the temple, and to declare that he was greater than the temple, would insult some of those people. They would take that as an insult. It would be what made them want ultimately to put him to death. And of course, that was part of the sign to which Jesus was pointing. They said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days. But, says John, the temple he had spoken of was his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said." Paul reminds us in his letters that we too are the temple of God now. I wonder what that means to us in the way we treat ourselves, in the way that we respect what God has given us, and in the way that we allow our lives to become full of junk and clutter, perhaps in the temple of our own hearts. Are there things in our lives that make Jesus angry? If my heart is his temple, do I clutter it up so much that there's little space for him? Again, in Lent, we can face these issues. We can make time to clear a sacred space for God. And part of the point of this particular service is to come in penitence and faith, that we can wipe our slates clean with Jesus as we receive the ash. We remember that we are but dust. We're pretty messy creatures, but that Jesus wants to forgive us and to cleanse us and to transform us by his grace. We can know that forgiveness that sets us free. So a few things to think about in Lent. How careful are we to honour Jesus? How careful are we to take care of these temples that he's entrusted to us and not to clutter them up with junk and irrelevances? And finally, when we see things going on which are wrong, do we do anything about it? Do we need to ask Jesus for some of his courage to stand up for the truth, not to give in to those who find it uncomfortable when we do that? After that incident in the temple, Jesus stayed in Jerusalem, and people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But it says Jesus did not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He didn't need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. And as we come this evening, we might be able to be honest about what's within us, or we might struggle with that. But we know that we come into the presence of our Creator, who knows us and who loves us and who longs for us to open ourselves up, that he can pour his love and his forgiveness and his grace into our hearts, that others would see him through us. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you weren't a wimp. Thank you that when you saw things that needed dealing with, whether it was in the temple or in people's lives, you cut straight to the chase. We pray that you would help us to be brave, to be honest, and to be open in your presence. That this evening we would be able to admit our faults and to receive your forgiveness and your love. Thank you that we can gather around your table, that you welcome us all, and you invite us to sit and eat with you, that you can strengthen us and send us out. Amen.